Our text is taken from Luke chapter 19, reading verses 1 through 10. And Jesus passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief ruler among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In our study of this passage, we noted in verse 1 the direction of our Lord. In verses 2 and 3, the description of Zacchaeus. In verse 4, the determination of Zacchaeus. In verse 5, the demand of our Lord. In verse 6, the delight of Zacchaeus. And verse 7, the discontent of the multitude. Verse 10 is our text for our present study, the declaration of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. We will follow, God willing, our usual development of this study. First, we will give an exposition of the text, and then we will make some observations upon it. A simple twofold division, except that in this present study, all we will do today is to open the text. What stands before us in the Word of God is a very simple text. It is a narrative. It is the statement of Zacchaeus. And yet when we begin to open it up, we trust it will reveal to us those riches that are hidden on and from the surface as this text begins to reveal its truth to us. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Literally, having taken his stand, Zacchaeus said to the Lord. The first word in this verse is the word and. It is the translation of a transitory particle in the Greek New Testament. It usually marks a transition in the narrative. There are some times, however, when it is very strong and it assumes an adversative significance, and it does here. But Zacchaeus, having taken his stand, said to the Lord. The language puts Zacchaeus in opposition to the multitude. The multitude murmured. They weren't murmuring against Zacchaeus. The multitude was murmuring against our Lord, for it was a scandal to go into the house and home of a publican, and Zacchaeus was the commissioner of taxes, a high-ranking Roman official, a traitor to his people. But having taken his stand, Zacchaeus said to the Lord. Now the words "having taken his stand" are but one in the language of the New Testament, but this word is extremely significant in this passage. The Greek reads stathes. Stathes is an aorist participle, literally having taken his stand. Now this construction, this word only occurs six times in the entirety of the New Testament, and in every occurrence it is greatly significant. So I want to look at these in our study. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee, having taken his stand or assumed his position formally in prayer, began to pray. It means that he wrapped the phylacteries on his head and on his right hand, pulling back the sleeve and three times putting the leather cord to stand for the Shema Yisrael, the letter Shin, and then looked up into heaven and raised his hands. The Pharisee, assuming the formal position, began to pray. Again in Luke chapter 18, verse 40, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought. Our Lord came to a standstill and turned at the voice of Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out to be cured from his blindness, and our Lord turned and gestured or parted the crowd and gave his full attention to Bartimaeus. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, but Peter, this is the day of Pentecost, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. Peter stood and evidently beckoned with his hand to gain the attention of the multitude and then publicly addressed them in a very formal way. He took his stand. He assumed a position of a public speaker. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said. On this formal occasion, the first recorded instance of a public confrontation between biblical Christianity and Greek philosophy, Paul stood. He assumed the position. His left hand was across his chest, holding on to his toga. The right hand was extended. It was the formal position and stance of an orator, and they gave him silence and listened to his address or to his oration. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 21, we read, Paul now on board ship, the day of the shipwreck. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth, the same word, stathes, in every occurrence, stood forth in the midst of them and said. Paul gains their attention by standing forth in an official way and beckoning with his hand to gain their attention, urging them to eat and to be of good cheer because no one's life would be lost, but they would be shipwrecked upon a certain island. So now we return to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, but Zacchaeus assumed a formal stance and said unto the Lord. This little man had something big to say, something solemn to say, something to openly declare without reserve. When he did this, we do not know. We know that he received our Lord joyfully. We believe that his declaration was given while he was still standing in the street. standing and facing our Lord, looking up to him, for he was small of stature, but saying and raising perhaps his arms for emphasis, he said, "The half of my goods, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." He said it in the presence of the multitude. This reveals the great and immediate reality of converting grace in the life and the soul of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus took his stand, and so must we. There is hardly anything more glorious in the life of Christians than to see the first living testimony of converting grace, the transformation of the personality and the word of truth that comes from the lips of a new convert. He said unto the Lord. Look at these words carefully. This means that what he said was not a defense of his actions to the multitude. It was spoken to our Lord, not to them. They overheard. He didn't say it in a timid way. He said it in a bold and public way, but it was directed toward the Lord, not toward the multitude. It was not a defense to silence their murmuring. This was a declaration and a confession of sin to our Lord and the immediate way in which he would deal with it. It was a confession without reserve. The multitude were simply onlookers to this conversation. Confessing our sins or what we intend immediately to do before the Lord is one thing. Defending ourselves before others is an entirely different matter. He spoke to our Lord, and he did not care who heard him. His pride, his fear, his embarrassment, his haughtiness were all gone. He had become, in descending that tree, an entirely different man. Now his words and actions reveal a work of grace in his heart and something that is inevitably manifest in his life. Now we come to the two verbs in this sentence. I give, I restore. Everything in this entire narrative depends on the tense of these two verbs. They are in the present tense. But that does not deal with the real issue. For there are many uses of the present tense in the language of the New Testament. Is this an historical present tense, or is it a futuristic present tense? In other words, if this is an historic present tense, then Zacchaeus would be defending his present actions to the multitude. I am already in the process of giving half of my goods to the poor. I am in the habit of, or am constantly restoring, fourfold. And there are some commentators of Romish ilk who take this view because they are teaching salvation by works. And they think that Zacchaeus now is vindicating his actions to our Lord and to the multitude. We absolutely disagree, and I might say that our Lord does also. Lord, this is what I'm going to do beginning right now. It's a futuristic present tense that will be manifest immediately when the words come forth from his mouth. Our Lord's response is what? Today is salvation come to thy house. A great transformation has taken place. Not only is it true in his heart, but it is articulated. He has said something in public. He has made an emphatic declaration. And upon this he will not and cannot return. his life is transformed. It's transformed in a degree of generosity. There are those who make promises to God, and we must consider the personality and the promises made. Zacchaeus was a churlish man. He was a self-centered man. He was a shrewd, conniving individual, and he was a cheat. He was an extortioner. And the very first thing that comes out of his mouth is untoward, overwhelming generosity. This is a great and glorious mark of converting grace. Bishop Hall, who lived in the late 1500s and early 1600s, in his contemplation notes very quaintly that his liberality was immediate, not post-mortem. Those are the words of Bishop Hall. His liberality was immediate, but not post-mortem. The work of God is furthered with present issues, present needs, and present provisions. The work of God is not furthered by that which resides in the nebulous future. Present needs mean present supplies. It is interesting for younger men to have conversations, times of fellowship with old preachers. I can remember talking to old preachers, and I'm sure they enjoy shocking men who are relatively young in the ministry. An old preacher once spoke to a younger minister and said, "Most people want to serve God after they're dead." Well, that creates a shockwave. "Well, brother, what do you mean?" He said simply this: after they're dead, in their wills, they leave so much for the work of God. It is not because they're generous. It is not because they care so much for the work of God, because there are present needs to be met. It is simply that after they're dead, they can't spend their money anyway, and so they're going to give it to God. That is second rate. And then he said, God has to kill some Christians to make them useful. So the shock effect of the words of an old preacher. Now we continue on with the text. "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Behold is an exclamation. Behold, Zacchaeus is impressed with this sudden turn in his own heart. Can you remember your early days of conversion? What boldness you had when you stood up, as I did once in public, and rebuked a man in his own house. I was at a John Birch Society meeting. I had been fighting communism in those early days, late 50s, early 1960s. I was trying to find meaning in life, trying to give my life some direction. I was reading books on philosophy. I was trying to get a direction for my life, and I couldn't find it. When God saved me, everything pointed in the right direction. But I went to a John Birch Society meeting, and the host was using very foul language, and I stood up and rebuked him. He took God's name in vain, and I told him so. There was about 30 people in the house, and I just stood up. Did I do that? Where did this boldness come from? I'm sort of a retiring, timid, passive individual. And I, as a result of that, one family came to church and they all made professions of faith within 2 or 3 months. So evidently God was in it, but I was surprised. Did I say that? I stood up. It was instinctive. I stood up and I made my first public stand for God. And I was amazed at myself. I probably scared myself half to death. Well, here we have now, behold! And what is he saying? What is this selfish, churlish, conniving, extortioning little man saying? Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. We haven't even begun to understand what he's saying. Let's look at it. If you have your Greek New Testament before you, you can see that we have the word huparkonton, substance, not just my income. There's no talk here about starting to tithe, which God, of course, expects of every child of God. That's not it. The half of everything I possess, the half of my possession, my substance, all of my wealth, I give to the poor. Isn't this a shaking statement? He had more than he could ever use. He had more than he could ever spend. Unload this burden of wealth with all of its worries and self-centeredness and give it to the poor. When God makes a stingy, mean little man a generous, benevolent child of God, that is earth-shaking. And so it is with Zacchaeus. About Saul of Tarsus, God appears to Ananias. Ananias, here am I, Lord. Go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire there one for Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. But Lord, I've heard much about this man, what evil he has done. And shut up thy saints in Jerusalem, and now he's here with letters of other. The Lord said, go thy way. I've heard enough. Behold, he prayeth. Isn't that enough? He's a converted man. About Zacchaeus, behold, he giveth. Here's a man who could never get enough, who could never amass enough wealth. His power, compensating for all of the things in life, compensating for the hating of his own people, all of these things. And he said, behold, Lord, half of everything I have, I give to the poor. Behold, he giveth. A tremendous mark of grace. Before I was converted, I was still living at home. I was making good money. My dad said I should buy $10 worth of steak a week and put it on the barbecue for him. I owed him that. And every week we had Pro-10 beef at that time, pre-tenderized steak. Of course, I got to eat of it also. And I had to tithe. Let me tell you something. In the days before pocket calculators, I would take my paycheck and I would take not the gross, but what was written on the check, and I would get it down to the closest penny, and I would begrudgingly give my tithe to God. After I was converted, here I was, a young single man, some money in the bank. I gave to send my pastor across the United States to a Bible conference. I can't believe it. We don't have enough money. We need to send our pastor to this conference. I'll give so much, I said. Did I say that? I looked at the end of my, I guess I did. And I rejoiced in it. I didn't round things off to the closest penny. I wasn't churlish. I wasn't stingy. I gave and I helped other people and I rejoiced in it. How contrary to my nature, by nature, but not contrary by grace. This is Zacchaeus. The half of all my possessions, I can't spend it anyway. I have more than heart could wish. Take this whole burden of wealth that characterizes my life. I give half to the poor. Now, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. If you have your Greek New Testament before you, you see this is a first-class conditional sentence. Not if, but since. It's a freely, frank admission of guilt. He stole from his people. And since I have taken things from men by false accusation, I restore to that person fourfold. There were no ifs in his mind. He openly admits his extortions and sinfulness in his business dealings. If we begin with if, then we'll never apologize, we'll never restore. If I've said something to offend you, if I've been wrong in this, if that's what I said, if you took it that way, We can't accept an apology like that. The person knows he's been wrong, but he won't admit it. He'll say, if this, not with Zacchaeus, since I have, I will restore. By false accusation, I want you to note this. The word is a rather lengthy word in the Greek New Testament. The term he uses here is the source of our English word sycophant. A sycophant is one who flatters for his own ends and for financial gain. It's one who extorts money. It comes from two words, sycophant. Sukos, the word for fig, and phino, the word for show. Literally, a fig shower or a fig revealer. And you say, how does this tie in? Well, he's been up a fig tree. Now he's down. And now, not only is he out of the fig tree, but he's no longer a sycophant. The history of this word is very interesting. At Athens in ancient Greece, those were called sycophanti, sycophants, whose business it was to inform against anyone whom they might detect exporting figs out of Attica. You had to pay a high fee to do that. You had to pay the customs. And as sometimes they seem to have extorted money from those loath to be exposed, the name sycophantes or sycophant from ancient times came down as a general term of disapprobation to designate a malignant informer, a malignant and base accuser from love of gain, or, and this is the secondary sense, to exact money wrongfully, to extort or to defraud. We find this use in Luke chapter 3 and verse 14. The soldiers were listening to John the Baptist, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely. That is, do not extort money from them, and be content with your wages. And that is the sense that Zacchaeus uses the term before us. Now, he does not seek to present himself before God or men as someone he is not. He openly and boldly confesses his sin without any reserve whatsoever. And we find it in the words, I restore him fourfold. This reveals that Zacchaeus, despite his secular life, still knew the law of God. And so do unconverted people today. The work of the law is written in the heart. That sense of right and wrong that still convicts the conscience is here, despite the noetic effects of sin. He not only understood the law, but went far beyond the law in his restitution. So listen carefully as we look at this. If a person cheated another or wrongfully took advantage of him and took wealth from him, he was to restore the principal amount and add a fifth part for interest to it. We find this in Numbers chapter 5 and verse 7. Then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. If a man has wrongfully treated another and taken money from him, he's to restore that amount, the principal part, and add a fifth part to it for interest. A thief now was to restore fourfold if the property could not be returned. If the thief were caught, he would make restitution. If the thief were caught with the stolen property, he was to restore double. And I give you this in Exodus chapter 22. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up, and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. We return then to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus would have been within the bounds of the law if he had said to the Lord, I know the law. I extorted from men. I will restore the principal and I will add a 5th part to it. That was the demands of the law for extortion. But he did not say that. And Lord, since I've extorted from these people, I will restore 4-fold. He said, my sin was outright theft and I won't minimize it before you. That is a mark of converting grace. When people minimize sin, then we question their converted state. But has there been a convert like Zacchaeus? The half of everything I possess, I give to the poor. And since I've taken by false accusation or by extortion from others, it was outright theft, Lord. I knew what I was doing. I restore them 4-fold. Here is a man who walks to his house arm in arm with the Lord Jesus Christ, fully, fully forgiven, and a man with a clear conscience. That, my friends, is converting grace. Are we like Zacchaeus? Has God absolutely reversed the distinguishing marks of our character? From being self-centered and stingy, a miser, heaping wealth upon wealth, have we become generous to the work of God, to others? Has God reversed us from our meanness, from our sin and depravity, to be a true child of God, that we should emulate the Lord Jesus Christ? Zacchaeus is unquestionably a converted man. Are we? Are we? Are the marks of grace that marked in our lives? Father, bless thy word, we pray. Glorify thyself. As we open these passages, might we rejoice in your free and sovereign grace that can so transform the nature of the sinner. We rejoice in this and in the joy that Zacchaeus experienced upon his conversion. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Might we experience it in our own lives. Might we be transformed by your grace. And might the world know that God saves sinners. Bless, we ask, through Jesus Christ. Amen.